Good morning, church. It's good to have you all here today and sharing with us and visitors. We're glad that you're here and our regulars. We're glad you're here and our irregulars. I don't know. We're glad we're all here today. We are continuing our Preach It series, just using different text, and I am continually amazed with how the Holy Spirit works. I give Josh and the song leaders, Drake or whoever's up for the day, just a little snippet, maybe a passage of scripture that we'll use, and they nail the songs that go with that. I almost think that if we did the sermon first, and then had the songs to go with it afterwards, you guys could all appreciate that as much as I do. Because I sit here and I listen to the songs and I'm like, oh man, they just nailed that. And I would have never thought of that song to go with this message or something of that nature. But see, I sit there and I know what the sermon's going to be about. You guys don't. And I listen to these songs and they mean so much more to me because of that. And so I appreciate that, not just Josh and Drake, but all of those that participate in the band as well. And so if you've got your Bibles this morning, and I hope that you do, we'll turn to Psalms chapter 27, verses 13 through 14. What we're going to be looking at, and so much of this, and one of the songs we sang this morning, it kind of gave us the illusion of a roller coaster ride in our life, that sometimes things are great, we're at the top of the hill, and other times we take the dive, and we may end up staying lower than we want to stay. We're there. However, what this passage that we're going to be looking at today is going to remind us is that when we're at the bottom of that roller coaster, and your stomach may feel a little queasy, we're coming back up. We'll be coming back up, and the Lord will be there, and the Lord is always there. And that's what I want for us to understand. It doesn't sound like I'm on. Am I on? All right. It just sounded like it dropped quiet all of a sudden. But anyway, so if you've got your Bible, Psalms 27, verses 13 through 14 says this: I would have despaired, and notice we got that word underlined. We'll come back to that in a moment. I would have despaired unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Yes, wait on the Lord. And so as we see that and we're reminded of that, Bible commentator Albert Barnes makes the comment on this part of in the land of the living. As we see that, what he's saying is that he believes that David will be able to see, not only live in, but to see and enjoy the divine tokens here on earth once again, given by God. I can't help but think of that as I read that growing up. As I'm older, it's a whole different idea. But I used to love to go to Showbiz Pizza, right? Remember that? Now it's, I think, Chuck E. Cheese or whatever. But you'd go in there, and the pizza would taste like cardboard at best. Right, it never failed that the pop was usually flat, but the kids just loved it, right? Because why? Because when mom and dad would buy that pizza and buy that flat pop, they'd get tokens, and it's a token is a reminder of the joy that's yet to come. And I read that, and I thought of that this week of Albert Barnes, that as he says that he just wants to get a token of the good things, to enjoy, to share in. thought of putting those tokens in the skee ball machine, right? And getting to be able to play that and just to enjoy the good things of life. As we've gotten older, we've realized that there are far greater tokens than those that belong to Chuck E. Cheese in life, and those things that we long to see and that we long to share in. And so this morning, with our first point in this, I want David is reminding us about the goodness of God. Even when things are tough, even when things are rough, even when things are, we think, at the bottom of life and they can't get any worse, right? Think of the goodness of God. We're reminded by the phrase, and we say it every Friday at chapel, God is good and all the time. And Kim Cooper, I did not make that up myself, okay? Just, yeah. A little Don Moe in there. But anyway, so as we see that, the goodness of God. Now, that word despaired, remember we had that underlined in our text. That was added by the translators. And rightfully so. It helps us to understand the text a little bit better. But if you look at it, it's probably in italics or something like that in your Bible to let you know that it wasn't originally there. They put it in there. But the King James Version, this is what a New American Standard is what I generally use. But the King James said, I had fainted. Now, we think of despair, we're just, right? But when I think fainted, you know, I'm thinking a whole nother level here, right? That I have fainted, or, oops, excuse me, the one that I found that I understood and I could realize in my life is I would have given up hope. And that's the Bible in basic English. David says, I would have given up hope if I didn't have to be able to think about the goodness and the mercies and all of those tokens of God's divine gift that he was going to give him. I would have given up hope. I thought this morning as George did that opening on hope. It's just a reminder that how important hope is to us. And not even to us, but a bucket of rats. Right? So if you weren't here, you'll have to go back and catch it online. But it shares with us, and it's a reminder to us about the goodness of God. And that how he is good to us, and I believe it's Dave Ramsey that says he's better to us than we deserve. David is sharing here how his state of mind is affected by the enemies that are around him. Many times as we read, I know yesterday in some of Jim Snobble's lessons at the Fishers of Men camp out we had, he referred to some of the imprecatory psalms there where David's really, you know, get back at my enemies. But here in Psalms 27, if we read this, David is saying how his enemies affect him. And I couldn't help but stop and think about that. Do we have, you know, and David was making reference of these enemies that were strong, that were mighty, that were quite formidable, and they would come in against him. And what you have to understand is in David's life, before he became king, he still honored Saul as king. But yet, so the things that were going on in his life, Saul's men all hated David. The enemies that Saul wouldn't fight, that David was going out to fight, hated David. And all of them wanted for his demise. They wanted to destroy him. And as we look at that and we think about that, I can't help but think, in our own life, do we have times where we feel the destruction of this world coming upon us? Right, I believe it's the old Ann Murray song, "I sure could use a little good news today." Right? I don't even turn on the news hardly anymore. Don't go and look at anything because I just don't want to hear it. And I know that's probably wrong of me. But it gets depressing. It gets sends me into a season of despair, as it did there with David. And he's reminded, as we are, that we're in a battle. Now, we know we're here this morning and we're going to talk about the spiritual battle, but let's just get to the reality of it. And I thought this morning in Nick's prayer, again, as I knew what the sermon was going to be about, that Nick read my notes, at least for this one paragraph, because he mentioned, and I don't want you to raise your hand, but lift your heart to the Lord, those that are hurting today, those that struggle. And we're not talking about spiritual things yet. We're just talking about physical things. Did it hurt for you to get out of bed this morning? Yeah, respond with a and not an amen, right? All right, did it hurt for you to get out of bed this morning? Did we stop and consider, you know, all the loved ones that we have in our life that are struggling with diseases, heart disease, cancers, different things, as Nick mentioned all of those, and those that are close friends of ours or those that are family of ours, and we see that and we hurt and we despair and we would lose hope if it wasn't for God. And so consider the goodness of God. Continue to think of the goodness of God. And David does this, and he shares with us, and it reminds us that we, as we have those struggles, we also have our physical maladies. However, we do have spiritual maladies and sicknesses as well, don't we? But for some reason, our prayer list, and I'm not saying this is wrong, but I'm just saying, but for some reason, our prayer list is filled with our physical maladies. But you know what? If you've got heart disease, cancer, high cholesterol, Alzheimer's, the list can go on and on. You can have those things and die, and being a Christian, still go to heaven. That's bringing us sweet relief, really. But with our spiritual maladies, David is letting us know we've got to remain focused. These other things may get us down, but if we die without the Lord, we've lost our hope. There is no hope. And so that's what David is really trying to set the tone for here to get us to understand. So where did David get his hope? We're not really told, at least in this passage of Scripture, as he's writing this text. Where did David get his hope? He may have some assurance from the Lord. The Lord may have told him. We're not told of that. There are some people that just have that positive attitude, right? Now, I don't know that this was definitely David, because we're seeing the struggles that he's having. But maybe he just had within himself an assurance that, you know, God was going to take care of this, even if God didn't promise that to him, that God would take care of it. And so as we look at this and see that David has this confidence, and we too, church, should have a confidence that goes beyond any physical sickness that we have, takes us beyond even our spiritual despair, that we have a Lord that's alive. And we're going to take a look at that here in just a little bit. But the thing that's great about scriptures is that it shares their good times and it shares their struggles. David's not the only one in the Bible that had problems. Do we know that? Right? The Bible's full of people that had struggles. One of them I'd like for us to consider that could have chosen to fall into despair is Job, obviously, right? But there's this remarkable passage out of Job that I want to share this morning. Job chapter 19, verses 25 through 27 says, "As for me," and this is what we need to remember, what Job knew, and this was long before the cross. But Job says, "As for me, I know that my Redeemer lives. And at the last, he will take his stand on the earth. And even after my skin is destroyed, yet from my flesh, I will see God." There's big discussion and debate on what that all means. You know what I think it means? He's going to see God someday. Verse 27, "Whom I myself shall behold, and whom my eyes will see and not another." And then what does he say? "My heart," kind of uses the King James language here, "my heart faints within me." Just to think about it, that my Redeemer lives and that I'm going to be with him one day and in my flesh I will see him. That's talking about the resurrection there. And in my flesh I will see him. Just the thought of that makes me want to pass out. It's almost more than I can handle. But who is he putting his faith and his trust in? The Redeemer that lives. The Redeemer that lives. We're reminded of, as I said, hardships. David, Job. We have scriptures tell us of, remember Paul and Barnabas, good friends, missionary tour buddies together, and along the way, they get in a sharp disagreement. Scripture tells us there were two men that were ticked at each other. Matter of fact, to the point that they split up. Whole deal over John Mark. Aren't we glad that Scripture shares with us the struggles that these saints had? You know, there's some religions that teach that saints are perfect. Paul and Barnabas? You know, and I'm not necessarily saying one is right and one is wrong there. There was a difference in opinions. And it caused their separation. Aren't we glad that Scripture doesn't deprive us of the thought of mighty men that fail and falter, but yet can rise again? Scripture tells us of Samson and David. Both of them fell into what we would classify today as pretty grievous sins. But the Lord's always ready to take you back. We think of not only David and Samson, but we might think of Jonah and Elijah. I mean, these guys cursed the day they were born, right? We also see others then of wanting to just die, Jonah and Elijah. And as we see them in their despair, in their possibility of losing hope, the word of the Lord is what encouraged them to continue on. We've even got men like Jeremiah. So imagine, you know, you guys are so gracious, right? And I appreciate it. I get up here, I bring a message, and oh, you did such a good job, thank you, you know. Oh. But so imagine you're in Jeremiah's shoes. He's bringing the message directly that God is bringing him to his own countrymen, the Israelites, and they say, stop, quit it. We don't want to hear it. There's no encouragement there. And yet all he does is care for those that he's around. And that's why we're reminded in Jeremiah chapter 11 of a passage of scripture in verse 19 that says, but I was like a gentle lamb led to the slaughter. This is Jeremiah. This is how he says he was. I'm innocent. I'm naive when it comes to these things. I didn't even know this was going on. And this is the way the people feel about me. And I did not know that they had deceived plots against me, saying, let us destroy the tree with its fruit. In other words, wipe him out and his family and what he's teaching. And let us cut him off from the land of the living. Now remember, where did David say that he would see the goodness of God? In the land of the living. These wicked ones say, let's cut him off from the land of the living. As Hal taught in his class this morning, that there are two ways. There's life and there's death. And if you're cut off from the land of the living, there is no hope that the name, that his name be remembered no more. And so as we stop and we look at this and we think of this idea with going on with Jeremiah, now we've all had people that don't like us, right? Now, do you have anyone that you know specifically right now, today, that wants you dead? So just the time we think it's getting bad and we think it's getting rough, consider Jeremiah, right? Because not only does he think it's, you know, someone doesn't like me, they want me dead. They're looking how to wipe me out, my family, the teachings, all that I'm trying to share in. And this is why we need not to put our trust in the hands of men. This is why we put our trust in the heart of Jesus. Consider the good things of God. Consider the goodness of God and how he is there for us. Number two this morning on this passage of scripture that it's reminding us is it's all in God's timing. It's all in God's timing. Wait on the Lord. Take courage and be strong. But it's all on waiting on the Lord is how verse 14 finishes out. It's all in God's timing. When our life is rough, let's go back to the illustration of David's life. We mentioned the imprecatory Psalms and where he's praying for his enemies to be destroyed and for them to be demolished and wiped out. How about in David's life, he's asking for that, but I don't see him in some other times in his life. The deal with Bathsheba that we alluded to earlier. But how about when he numbered the people? What did he pray for then? This is the way we all are, though, but it's a great example of Scripture. When we got somebody that's against us, as David did, take care of them. God, I trust you. I have hope in you. You are all that I long to be with. You are there. take care of those wicked ones. Cast down fire, brimstone, really give it to them. But what did he pray for when he knew the judgment of God was coming upon himself? Remember, God even told him, pick your own punishment with the judgment of the, or with the counting of the people. And what did he say? Of all the things he could pick, he said, I'm going to let you, God, come up with the punishment because I trust in your mercy. So we all want for this time, right? This time of bad things happening in God's timing, we want it to be over now. That's our timing. But in God's timing, we're telling God, right? We want it to be over with now, but God's saying, just wait. You're going to be better for it in the long run. Through the Hebrew writer, we're reminded in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 30, as he quotes the Old Testament, that vengeance is mine, I will repay. And again, the Lord will judge his people. If you're waiting for God to get after them, just remember, we're one of God's people. You're one of God's people. I'm one of God's people. He'll judge us. And I guarantee you, we'll be praying for mercy. He's going to go with justice because he can balance goodness and grace and mercy along with what we deserve altogether. David, again, as many times in his life, felt like he was done for, felt like it was over, felt like it was time to give up, still says this after Psalms 27 and Psalm 118:6. It says, the Lord is for me. Amen? Hallelujah? Praise the Lord? The Lord is for me. I will not fear. I think David learned a little something along the way. What can man do to me? Send me to meet Jesus? Right? Remember, don't fear those that can kill the body. Fear those that can cause eternal death to the soul. And so as we see this, David does not give up hope. In matter of fact, he's changed his attitude and he says, the Lord is for me. Do you know how we can make sure that the Lord is for us? Don't back that up. There we go. Thank you. Do you know how we can make sure that the Lord is for us? Make sure we're doing what he's asked us to do. Right? Parents always love the kids that do what the parents tell them to do. Right? Do this? Huh. I know it seems to be a Christian cliche that we like to throw around, but that doesn't mean it's not true. Wait on the Lord. There was a lady by the name of Tracy Howell. She lived in Leonard, Texas. Those of you that are Facebooky people, back during probably the height of COVID, she shared this story, I think is maybe an inspiration for people. She posted somewhere on Facebook on December 1st of 2020, and she tells this story about her and her husband, how they've been married for 41 years up until that point, and how they would use their time She chose to use a unique way of expressing her love and commitment to her husband. She shares, as they've been married for 41 years, almost since day one, has she packed her husband's lunch for him every morning. Or she actually would do it every night. Before she went to bed. She sometimes would even show up on the work site with him. From what I read, it looked like maybe he was a construction worker or carpenter maybe of some sort. She would show up occasionally on the job site with him and eat lunch with him. And he made the comment to her one day, "You know, it's so much better to eat my lunch and share it with somebody I love." And she just thought that was great. She thought it was wonderful. So the next night or two, she's making his lunch again. And she's like, "I know I'm not going to be able to be there with him. However, what I'll do is I'll take a bite out of his sandwich." So she took a bite out of his sandwich. She puts it in the plastic wrap. She puts it in the lunch pail. So he gets home from work the next day, and this is long before cell phones. And he first thing through the door, "Guess what? Somebody took a bite out of my sandwich." He wasn't happy. She said, "Oh, I did that. I did that to express my love with you, for you, and when I wouldn't be able to be there with you, you would know that I'm there to share the good times of your day. I'm there with you to share the bad times of your day." And so generally, she said in this story, she would continue doing that for the next 40-some years. And still does it to this day. Except for when he has tuna salad and pimento cheese, Tom. Don't look upon the pimento loaf when it glistens. And never mind. All right. But so she wouldn't take a bite out of his tuna salad or his pimento cheese loaf there. But when he would have that bite out of his sandwich, he would come home and he would say, "Honey, glad you were with me today. I sure appreciate it. You made my day go well." This is the whole thought and the whole idea of what Jesus wants out of us. We were already able to share in a meal this morning of him saying, "You know, come and do this with me," and we've done that. Jesus wants to be there when things go bad. Did you hear me, church? He wants to be there when things go bad. He wants to be there when things are going great. He wants to be there for you to be the shoulder to cry on. He wants to be there to be the one to lift you up as you celebrate. He wants to be there. And in this whole idea, what they're trying to express in just taking a bite out of the sandwich is that this relationship that they have is on a far deeper level. It's not about what's for lunch. It's not about that a bite's missing out of it. It's about the reminder that we have. And so, here you go, Tony. You can put our next picture up there. There we go. As we bring this to a close this morning, be sure to let Jesus take a bite out of your sandwich. Because he just wants to be there with you. He just wants to fellowship with you. He wants you to tell him about your bad morning. He wants you to tell him about your great afternoon. He just wants to be there and take a bite out of the sandwich. But you know, the problem is too many of us are selfish. And we want to save it all for us. Let Jesus have a bite out of your sandwich so we can finish our day as David said, "The Lord is for me. I will not fear." There's a plan of salvation that's given in Scripture that leads us to him. That it starts with our belief in him and belief in Jesus Christ. And that's what we're here for, is to have it presented, to have it shared, to have it taught to us. Do you believe in Jesus, that he's Son of God? That he's not just a good man, that he wants to be your Savior? Are you willing to repent of your sin? The sin that put him on the cross? Well, they sin too. You're right. But your sin put him on the cross. Are you willing to repent of that? Are you willing to confess Jesus Christ as Lord? Are you willing to be immersed into Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins? Are you willing to live faithfully on the deepest level that you possibly can? When things are bad, when things are good, knowing that you will see one day, and it may not even be on this earth. David believed that it would be, and he got to those points at some time. But even beyond all of that, we're looking to go someplace where Jesus is, where the Father is, where the Holy Spirit will be there with us for all eternity. We're looking to go to heaven. What will I fear? I will fear nothing. What can man do to me? Nothing. But Jesus Christ is on your side if you do what he asks you to do. Will you stand as they lead us in our song of invitation this